Well, tomorrow we'll begin the month of Christmas celebration, and we'll be dealing and talking and shopping and doing all those things that are involved in that, and we'll be traveling, doing different things. I know some of our folks, we'll be traveling that week after Christmas, and some before, and some during, and so it's always a busy time. And I say, Brother Bradley, you all going out to Colorado, is that right? I don't know why you'd go out there. But the same reason we go where we go. But we have a lot of activities going on. Of course, last 3 weeks of school here before Christmas break. And so it's just a lot of activity. The Christmas programs with the kindergartners with one day and then the rest of the different classes the next day, and then we'll be closed out for the rest of the year and come back here and hear a new year, and it just seems like it goes by so very rapidly, so quickly, and the time does not stand still for us, and so there's a lot of things. We'll be having our Christmas meal. I believe we'll do it the third Sunday of this month. I don't know, what is that date? I don't even know. 18th. We'll do it on the 18th. That gets it a little bit closer to Christmas, and so we'll do that on that Sunday. Then on the next Sunday is the 25th. Christmas falls on Sunday this year, and we'll probably just have one service that day, and then we'll get through all the festivities and all the things, get back in routine once again. All right, tonight, if you would, in the New Testament, the book of 1 Thessalonians. The book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 1. We'll begin reading in verse number 5 and read into a couple of verses in chapter number 2. And tonight, just going to deal with some things about the gospel, the work of the gospel, the message that we have given to us. And Paul talks about it here in this first book of Thessalonians, chapter number 1, verse number 5 of 1 Thessalonians. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sakes. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. And from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom is raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. For you yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as ye know, at Philippi, ye were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. Here we find the Apostle Paul writes to this church of Thessalonica that was born out of troubles and struggles that came to them. And usually the gospel is associated with a lot of struggles. Usually the gospel is something that is not easily accepted by the peoples of this world. And there's much contention about the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was contentious in Paul's day, and it certainly brings about tensions today and is very contentious today in the day that we live. The gospel is one of the most misused sometimes doctrines of the Scripture. And we're not talking about the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We're talking about the Gospel singular, the message of salvation. is the most important message of the Bible. Without the gospel, we would not have anything to rely upon. We would have nothing to depend upon, for by it we were converted. We are saved because of the gospel story, the gospel message that was given to us that we would hear with our ears, and we would maybe read the scripture, and we'd have thoughts in our heart and the conviction of the Holy Spirit that would come to us. And the gospel is that means whereby the Lord brought about conversion from sin and brought about to us salvation, that we can be here tonight and sing the old songs that we've sang and to rejoice in what we have in the Lord. And even though problems around us, we can be assured that the Lord is with us. And as Paul writes to these believers of Thessalonica, he reminds them that they have come into this gospel message with a lot of struggles and a lot of problems. The work of the gospel is to be shared by every believer. It's something that all of us can do. We can share that message. We can tell the story of what the Lord has done for us. We may not be able to say a whole lot. Sometimes we're not able to do a whole lot. But we do never know. We never do know when that little word or something that we say might find lodging, might find someone's heart. And maybe what our word might be was something that they just had need of in their life. And the Lord waters that. The Lord brings that to fruit and brings about an understanding of what salvation is. The Apostle Paul talks and tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, Paul says, I have planted. Paul was the one giving the message. And then there was another man by the name of Apollos, another preacher that was coming behind Paul and did some things. And so Paul says, I have planted and Apollos watered. It takes the water of the Word of God. It takes the message of the Lord. But then he said, but it's God that gives the increase. All that you and I can do, we cannot force someone to be saved. If we could, we'd be out there doing that, because that's the greatest event that would be in each life. If we could force someone, but you can't force someone to believe. That's a personal thing that has to be, but we can tell someone. We can encourage people. We can witness to folks. And I'm not talking about just being a walking Bible and buttonholing everybody, but we can be a witness in our way of life. We can be a witness by what we do and what we say and the things we, actions that we have and the scriptures that we do know that the Lord gives us sometimes the opportunity to tell people and just to be a witness to someone about the Lord Jesus Christ. That is planting the seed. That is planting the gospel. That's telling the story. And you may not have a whole lot of Bible knowledge. You may not know a lot of verses, but you can certainly tell what happened in your life about salvation, of what the Lord has done for you. I was listening to television this morning, and they had a preacher interviewing him, and it's always encouraging when someone on national television will tell the truth, and when they talk about the gospel. And this individual, this preacher, he said, what happened to me one day? He said, I got saved. I sort of perked up. You don't hear that a whole lot on national television. He said, I got saved. He said, that's what our people need. We need to quit looking to the government and looking to social programs and all those things. He said, they just need to look to God and need salvation just like I had. And that's what it takes. That's what will change the lives and change the hearts of individuals. And we have the Holy Ghost to instruct us and to help us. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 1, we have received power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me. Thank God we have someone that we can witness about. He says, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then he says the uttermost part of the world or the earth. And so we have a mission program right there in our own back door, in our Jerusalem, in our area, our Judea, in our country, our Samaria, and then to around the world, telling people that there is a way of escaping the wiles of the devil. There's a way of having salvation. And so therefore, that's the work of the gospel. That's what God intends for us to do. We share our faith with our children. Moms and dads do that continually as they raise children in their homes. Those that are saved, that's a responsibility that God puts upon parents. We take the gospel many times to where we work. We have the gospel on vacation. We take it where we go and all the things that we do. We have the local church for preaching and teaching. We share the gospel around the world in missions by either giving or going. And so everything involved in the work of the Lord is involved and centered around this subject of the gospel. You can go around the world and be a missionary. If you don't preach the gospel, you're not going to do any good. No one's going to get saved. You can go around the world and be a social gospel preacher, and all you do is talk about social things and ways of life and how to make things better and things different. And there's nothing wrong with that, but the main objective that every missionary has and every Christian should have is to give forth a clear message of what the gospel is. And of course, the gospel is not just about the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe He is the gospel embodied. And so we share the gospel. We water the seed that's been sown. But it's God that gives the increase and that helps us. Tonight I want us to look at just three or four things about the gospel and notice the importance of it and how it works in the life of you and I. First of all, let's deal with this thing called the power of the gospel. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God and salvation to everyone that would believe, to the Jew first and then also to the Greek or to the unlearned and the unknowledgeable. The power of the gospel is to turn a sinner from their sin unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Here in our text verses tonight that we read, Paul rehearses to these Thessalonian people what happened to them. He tells them in verse number 9, says, For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you. And notice here how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. So it's a turning, it's a change. We call that repentance. We have a change of heart, change of mind, change of direction. Everything changes in our life. And that comes about by the power of the gospel. They turned from idols. Now, they didn't do that of their own makings. They didn't do that because they just decided. They were not able to do that because that was just a good choice to make. But they turned from idols to the living God because they had been given to them the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, of what the Lord had done for them in His personal life here upon this earth. And so they turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. And then it says, and to wait for His Son from heaven. We are waiting tonight. We wait for the Son of God. And we are realizing that we have been delivered from the wrath that is to come. That's all embodied in the message of the gospel. The Bible tells us, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. You go out here tonight on the street corners, you go to the busy centers of our country, and you start proclaiming and preaching the gospel, it will be foolish to this world. They mock it. They make fun of it. I know an individual. Well, we have a missionary that's in Salem, Massachusetts, and a very, very wicked town. And he goes out street preaching. He does all the work that needs to be done so people will hear. And they mock him. They make fun of him. They spit upon him. They do all the things because they think it's foolish to be preaching the gospel. I know another young man that's in New York City trying to start a church, and the masses of the people that are there, and they mock him, they make fun, and they have all their ideas, and this world is so full of their own self and their own ways that what the Lord says here through Paul, the preaching of the cross is to them foolishness. Who are those that are thinking it's foolish? Those that are perishing, needing God, needing the Lord, needing the things of the Lord. And so, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But he puts another statement here. He says, but unto us which are saved. There's that term. For those of us, unto us that are saved, it is the power of God. Tonight we are here because of the power of God one day revealed to us who Jesus really was. We were turned, we were converted, we were changed because we heard the gospel, because we heard the preaching, we heard the message. And the gospel has the power to convert, and that convert means to have a change. And it's not just a change, though it will bring about a change, but it's a turning. It's a change and a turning to God. A lot of people make up their mind to change, but they need to turn to God. They need to go from idols and wickedness unto the righteousness of the Lord, a turning from ungodliness to righteousness based upon the finished work of Calvary, based upon what Jesus did there on the cross, on the tree, turning from the world and turning from self and turning to God. That's the power of the gospel. We try and we hear people say, well, and we'll hear a lot of it here in the New Year's, we make all kind of resolutions. January 1st, I'm not going to do this anymore. Well, next week we do it. Usually don't take a week, does it? And we say, I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to be a different person. I'm not going to do all that I've been doing. I'm not going to eat what I've been eating, because we'll get through that part of Christmas. We'll say, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to, you notice this year, like all other years, January the 1st, you'll be inundated with all kind of diet pills, diet plans, because they know you've turned over a new leaf, and they want to be part of that leaf. They want you to send some leaves to them called money, and so they come at us from every corner, every way, because you want to shed those few pounds that you put on during Christmas. And so they put all that before us. That's not going to get it done. And some people go toward the trying to get saved the same way. Well, I'm going to try this way. If that don't work, I'll try another way. And I've got this plan. I've got this program. And a lot of folks just go from one thing to another, trying to get satisfaction in their heart, when the only satisfaction that will ever be is the power of the gospel that changes us. The only satisfaction that will ever come to us is not some religious ceremony that we go through. It's not the baptismal waters. It's not any of the things that we do on the outward show of what religion's all about. The only thing that will change an individual is the power of the gospel, the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us here in this first verse that we read tonight, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but in power. The gospel that came to these folks of Thessalonica, Paul said, I didn't just talk to you. It wasn't just in word only, but he says, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. Paul said, I knew what I was dealing with. I knew what I was talking about. And Paul says, I delivered to you the gospel with much assurance. I did that, and it has the power of the message. And he says, it wasn't just a little conversation that we had. Paul said, I delivered it to you with the power of the message, the power of God, the Holy Ghost of God, the assurance of God, all those things working together. And what happened was, some people in Thessalonica, they believed, they heard the message, they believed, and now Paul's writing back to a church, and he's reminding them the power of the gospel. You and I tonight, we sometimes need to be remembered that it took the power of the gospel to save us. It wasn't just my choice. It wasn't just my decision. It wasn't me filling out a card. It wasn't me going through baptism. It was me being totally consumed by the work of the Lord and the Holy Spirit and the power of God that made us realize that we needed God. We needed something that we couldn't do ourselves. Well, I can turn over every new leaf that I can find, and they're still going to be spotted by my sins before the next moment appears. And so Paul tells these Thessalonican people, he said, my message, my gospel. He says, for our gospel came not in word only, but in power. Thank the Lord tonight for the power of the gospel. Romans 1:16, I quoted a little bit of that a while ago. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. He goes to the Jew first, the Jew rejected, and Paul now turns to the Gentile. But the power of the gospel is to everyone that will believe. And so thank God tonight, the gospel has power. The gospel is not some little flippant thing that we think about, but it is the power of God unto salvation. It took the death of the Lord to do that. It took the message of Christ. Not only is there the power of the gospel, but thank God, there's the product of the gospel. Look around tonight, and you're seeing the product of the gospel. We have been produced as a believer. We are a Christian now. We are a product of the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are born again. And he tells these folks that they were also that product. In chapter 1, verse 6, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord. There's the product. He says the gospel came with power, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord. He says, and ye received, having received the word, and we know that word is the gospel, in much affliction, but with joy of the Holy Ghost. Affliction and joy doesn't seem like it fits together. But there's a struggle that comes about when the Lord is dealing with an individual. There's a struggle in our hearts. There's a struggle in our minds and our souls. Sometimes there's a struggle in our families when the gospel is being presented and we're trying to work out and understand what the Lord wants. And Paul says, this gospel that I gave to you, you became followers of me and also followers of the Lord. They became new creatures, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. True conversion. I believe this with all my heart. True conversion always brings a true change. If a person gets saved, there's a change that takes place in their life. Now, I have a lot of folks maybe that would disagree with me, some folks that I know, and they say, well, you get saved, and then somewhere down the road you realize it. No, you get saved. When you meet God, you know you meet God. When you meet the God of heaven, you're going to know you've met Him. I call it many times an encounter with God, because you are encountering the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't believe you can meet Him and not know it. If I was to go meet the governor of Kentucky, I would know I met Him. I would know that I shook His hand. And I would have some. And when I met the Lord, I knew I'd met the Lord. And when a person gets saved, there's some changes that takes place. First things change some of our thoughts. Sometimes our ways, our life, and as time progresses, the Lord changes little by little in our lives, and it's called that we are growing in the grace of God and the knowledge of the Lord. So you and I tonight, as a believer, we are a product of the gospel. We are that one that has been changed and converted. We have become followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We become, as these folks here, Paul says, you became examples. Everybody in Macedonia knew about the Thessalonian people. Paul said, I don't even have to talk about you. Everybody already knows about you. And they didn't have Wi-Fi and telephone, all that stuff. But all that area knew about this church because they believed God. They trusted the Lord, and they had been changed in their life. You and I tonight, the Lord has changed us. He's made us a new creature. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, for we are His workmanship. We're His treasure. And we are being worked on continually. We're His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. This verse here has a whole lot to say. The workmanship of the Lord, we have been created in Christ Jesus, and we have been created to do what? Have good works. The Baptist people are, we are notorious for being accused that we do not believe in works. We have been ordained to have good works. When you get saved, there's a plan that God gives to every one of us that we are to live for Him and have some good works. Now, where we get accused of wrongfully is that we don't believe those works save you, but because you're saved, you want to do good works. You want to do something right for the Lord. And so he tells them here that this Ephesian church, he was writing to them, and he says, God has ordained that we should walk in good works because we are His creation. We belong to Him. Titus chapter 2, verse 14 says, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify Himself a peculiar people, zealous of, what's the next two words? Good works. The word zealous there means we're actively engaged in good works. A peculiar people. You go out on the street corner and you live for God, you're going to be a peculiar person to those. They're going to look at you strange. They're going to mock. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that we should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Thank God we're in the light of the gospel. We are the product of the gospel. We are saved tonight because somebody was faithful to preach the blessed word of God that we could hear and come to know Christ and have that recreation in our life. That's the power of the gospel, the product of the gospel. Thirdly, the price of the gospel. It's not free. Cost. The price of the gospel. He tells them here in chapter 2, for yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain, but even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated. Paul said, there's some things that's happened in my life that I suffered. Why did he suffer? Because of the gospel. He says, shamefully entreated, or those things that happened that were shamefully come to them in the city of Philippi. You can read that in the book of Acts chapter 16. Those things that happened to him. But we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. The price of the gospel. It's not necessarily in dollars and cents. Sometimes it's in livelihood. Sometimes it's in life. Sometimes it's in suffering. Sometimes it's in peril and contention. It's what it costs to bring it to them. Paul says in these verses, he suffered, he was shamefully entreated, and had much contention. He talks about the city of Philippi, what happened to him there in Acts chapter 16, verses 12 through 40. And chapter 17, those details of what took place there. The price of the gospel is found many times in persecution. There are persecutions going on all around this world tonight because of the gospel. There are people that are being literally tortured and killed and mistreated and abused because they're Christians. And Paul said that's the price of the gospel. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, look at verse number 15. Well, let's look at verse 14. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye have also suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us. And they please not God, and are contrary to all men. Paul says the price of it is suffering. The price of the product, the price of you and I being born again, has been the persecution and the suffering down through the generations and ages that made it possible for us to one day hear the gospel. There are many countries around this world that do not have our freedom. And our forefathers came to this country for a reason. They came looking for freedom to be able to worship God as they chose. And the history of our country is riddled with persecution of the child of God. Some of those pictures, especially the second one there and the first one here, those are persecuted Christians in America, in this land, because of their stand and because of their message, because they would not bow down to authorities. And you had the colonies established, some of them. It's surprising they would establish a state church that which they tried to get away from out of England. That's why they left, and then they came here and did the very same thing. But there's one little state that was standing for the freedom to worship God as you choose to worship. And it was founded primarily by Baptist people. And it's the little state of Rhode Island. And it became known as the Little Baptist State because they believed in the priesthood of the believer. They believed that every individual had the right to go to God. They believed that only saved people would be baptized. And we've come a long way. Rhode Island now is a long way from God. Very wicked, wicked place. But the price of the gospel is that some have been by contention, some have suffered shamefully. The price is persecution. Paul said he was beaten. Acts chapter 16, he was beaten because of the gospel. The power of the gospel is the message of the gospel is very, very important. It's why it's important that we do not misuse it, we do not abuse it, we realize the truth of it. And then the last thing, you couldn't have all these without the last thing. What makes it all worthwhile is the person of the gospel. And that person is none other than Jesus Christ, our Lord. Certainly He was the power of God. Certainly He gave forth the ability for us to be a product of it. And certainly He underwent the persecution of the gospel. He is the gospel embodied. To know Him is to know the gospel. But if you know the gospel, you'll know Him. It's interchangeable. Can't get away from it. In chapter 2, I shut my Bible. I'm going to go back here and read some of these. In chapter number 2 of 1 Thessalonians, there's a word that comes up all the time. And it brings sort of a conclusion to all these verses that Paul and his fellow laborers had paid the price, and these folks were going to suffer also. In chapter 2, verse number 1, the first word of that verse is "for." For yourselves, brethren, know. And then he talks about the contention. Verse number 3. For our exhortation was not of deceit, or of uncleanness, nor in guile. Verse number 5, for neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Verse number 9, for ye remember, brethren, our labor and our travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. I didn't write all these down. I'm trying. Verse number 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. Verse 14. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God. Verse number 19. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Over and over and over again, Paul uses that little word, F-O-R, for. He said, these things are given. These things have been blessed. We have because of what God has done. Paul and his laborers, they paid a price to bring the gospel to Thessalonica. Now the people of Thessalonica will continue to pay that price to spread the gospel around the area of Macedonia. And they were known everywhere Paul went. He heard of their faithfulness. Is the price worth it? I say so. Is the cost worth it? Sure it is. What is the value of a soul? Will a man give his soul for, the scripture says, what will he give in exchange? Man exchanges his soul for very trivial things. But God has laid out before us tonight the ability to present the power of the gospel, to change their life, even if it comes by persecution, and then he blesses us for all those things. Thank God tonight for the work of the gospel. Worked in my heart, worked in your heart. It's the power, the purpose, the product, and the person. Thank God tonight, he is the gospel.